Psalm 4, section 4, my Back to the Psalms commentary. Again, we consider, who will show us anything good, or who will show us anything better? This time from the terms of righteousness. In verse 1, the psalmist says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. If I were to ask, what makes a person righteous? No doubt, I would get several answers, all having to do with something that they perform. It is an action, or an obedience, or an achievement to them. For some, righteousness is something that they don't do. For instance, they don't murder, steal, covet, etc. Seems to be a fairly easy mark. Most people don't do these things, so then we must conclude most people are righteous. Oh, and if you see other people doing a certain thing, well, then it must be all right. It also seems to be a floating mark as well for some, would conclude that since they don't do, let's say, 8 of the 10 things on the list, that it's better than 2 out of 10, therefore, yes, they are righteous. Some people would go as far as, you know, thinking that it's graded on a group average, where 8 of 10 or 4 of 10 didn't matter as long as what it was in the output of the average person. Again, it is the individual typically that decides the list. It may not be 10, but 1 thing on that list, you know, the do unto others or something of the like. For other people, righteousness is something that they actively do. They perform charity, for instance. They regularly attend church. They tithe. They take communion. They pray, etc. Some would go as far to say, if you did do enough of these especially good works that one could make up for their shortcomings on that other things I don't do list, 5 of 10 now becomes 10 of 10. This seems to be a slightly more difficult mark. Most people don't do half of this, so then we must conclude that only the more dedicated doers are righteous. This seems to be a fairly progressive mark as well, for it seems that no matter how much one does on this list, there's someone to tell them that there is so much more yet to do. Therefore, we can conclude that the very few are righteous, probably just the ones that come up with these lists. For other people, righteousness is a very relative thing. I'm not as bad as some people. Neither am I as good as some people. But most of those goody-goodies are hypocrites or overly fanatic, and who wants to be like those people anyway? Therefore, I am righteous, or at least righteous enough. Seems again to be a fairly easy self-determined mark. As long as one falls in somewhere between Adolf Hitler and Mother Teresa, hey, you're in with the righteous crowd. For a few but growing number of people, righteousness does not exist at all. It is a man-made construct. Only unrighteousness exists, and those are mostly people that hold to this archaic religious artifact, believing that they themselves are righteous or that everyone should be as righteous as they are becoming. All these things have to do with what people either do or don't do that makes them righteous. Each seems to have its upside, depending on how you look at it, and each has its own downside as well. Who then could show us anything better? Consider what David might mean by this phrase, God of my righteousness. We can either read it as how my righteousness sees God, or that it is God that brings about my righteousness. Which way do you see it? If it is how my righteousness sees God, then it is easy to see why we have so many variations of God. because there are so many variations of righteousness. This is how we get to our modern cafeteria form of God. People design their own image of God. If it is rather God that brings about my righteousness, we must ask then which configuration of God best brings that better righteousness about. Jesus made it clear that not just any configuration of God or righteousness was going to enter into his kingdom. Matthew 5:20, Jesus is quoted as saying, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." What form of righteousness is it then that exceeds? There are plenty of works-based forms of righteousness similar to the Pharisees. I doubt that any one of them are more devout to the high levels of ritual and legalism as they. There is really no need for us going down that road, because it seems that it is the farthest point down that road available, man, and yet it cannot exceed itself. Who would show us anything better? Exceeding must be a whole different direction down a whole different road. Some Christians, mostly Protestant, have a very peculiar view of this my righteousness, O God of my righteousness. It's a righteousness not based upon works. It's not works-based righteousness of the individual. It holds that man does not have an intrinsic righteousness within them, Isaiah 64:6. It is the atoning work and righteousness of Christ that is imputed unto them, Romans chapter 4. Christ has been made righteousness unto us, 1 Corinthians 1:30. My personal righteousness does not exceed the Pharisees. No, but Christ's does, and I cling to his as if it's more than righteousness, more than righteous enough to cover me. The view is most particular, and that it is one of the only views that is not works-based. It is based solely upon God's mercy and God's grace bestowed on us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. Could this be the righteousness that exceeds? Could this be what is better meant by God of my righteousness? Yes, it could be. Jesus, again, is quoted in Matthew 11, starting at verse 28. Jesus is quoted as saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What then of all the Bible mentions of do this and don't do that, some would ask? In this view, they become expressions of a grateful and radically changed heart. The relationship is first and foremost with the person and accomplishments of Jesus Christ, made on our behalf. Jesus Christ stands before God the Father as our righteousness, total, in full. How much, then, does this relationship mean to us? How grateful are we that Jesus has become all this? This is what is measured by our daily recognition and acknowledgement of him by means of obedience. Not for our righteousness, but in eager response to him. One form of righteousness is worked for and earned. God now owes you a good and sizable wages. The other form is partaken of. It is his. He is it. He is more than willing to share of it. We become benefactors of it because of him. That is a considerable difference between the two. Enough of a difference that the two cannot be commingled. They are polar opposites. On the one hand, we have a cafeteria of various shapes and forms of God and works-based righteousness, leading to all the confusion and self-justification and burden that we long have suffered. On the other hand, we have something different, something foreign, something liberating to us, focused not primarily on ourselves and our mixed-up religion, but on him and his faithfulness performed to the Father. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Well, isn't that what I just did by taking the words of the psalmist literally? O God of my righteousness?